Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Try Games at Net podcast. We are here on Come On Date Pop Up Sunday, October 8th, 2006. Yes, I was waiting for my Windows date to pop up. I apologize for that. Yes, I apologize.
Drink.
I am your host, Austin Chow, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon, as known on the site. I'm here with two lovely ladies here. Alfred cannot be here because he just played a wonderful concert, www.javiermusica.com, yesterday, and is probably hungover like the Dickens today, so he's not with us. But we have Ethan, Fast Ethan Felsen.
I like fisting young boys.
Oh, Jesus. Do you realize that, like, 12-year-olds listen to this? Do you realize that they will now come to you for some service?
Yeah, that's okay. Where are the emails? I need to know where you live.
Why should we encourage this? The more time he spends with them, the less time he can be on the podcast with us. And then all we hear in the background is, "Eee! Sluggo! Ah!" But,
What?
Sluggo.
The 8-year-old pound machine.
Oh, yeah.
That's another story.
And to my non-existent left, I have Tony Rico, Porpoise Whale, the ranty ponytailed one, speak.
Yeah, that was the best ever.
But yes, we have we're just going to wing it today, guys. We're all tired. We all hate you. You don't email us, so we're not going to treat you with shit and crap. So,
yeah, go put a dick in your ass. That's what I said.
Is that physically possible?
Wait for it.
He is gay.
Wait for it.
He is
yes!
A pedophile. He needs to be stopped.
To just get this out of the way first, since Al can't be with us, he was talking to me about the Guitar Hero 2 demo.
Poor Al.
Poor Al, he's hunging over. But I'll try to remember.
Hunka hunka.
You okay there, Austin? Had a little too few yesterday?
Well, if you've gotten the Guitar Hero 2 demo and you blast through it and you think you're the shit, apparently it's very easy. Like on expert, all the songs that they picked are pretty easy songs. I did see a gameplay video of some GameSpot staffer playing Miserloo on hard. Mm-hmm. And that was hard enough. And then he played it on expert and got kicked out within the first 20 seconds.
Oh, shit.
So that looks to be like this game's, you know, boss track. You're familiar with Miserloo, right?
No.
It's the Pulp Fiction. It's just the Pulp Fiction surfer song that they play.
Yeah.
You can imagine how fucking hard that gets. Yeah.
Okay.
It's exactly as it sounds. That's how hard it is. But, yeah, that looks difficult. And there are 3-note chords in there, which is pretty cool. The hammer-ons and the pull-offs have been tweaked so that it doesn't require perfection to execute. So it feels more like, you know, according to him, it feels more like he's really playing guitar because you don't have to be 100% perfect when you're actually playing. Because you still make the noise. You still make the notes come out. So that's good to hear for anybody who had trouble on, like, Texas Flood or Frankenstein on Guitar Hero 1. So hopefully that comes through. And can't wait for it. That's what I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to. As per usual, we'll do what's new. What is new with you, Ethan, Mr. Studying for Tests, and, yes.
Talking lots of dick, and talking about raping kids.
Ugh, God.
Yeah, well, I'm not upset. Raping small children.
What?
Like torturing animals.
Enjoying a nice tall glass of orgy, Company of Heroes.
And taking a
Company
nice
of
talk.
Company of Heroes is fucking sweet. Tony and I both got it. Tony got it later, and Tony's really bad at it. But I will tell you the real deal.
Tony and Ethan, run in the train on Company of Heroes. Go ahead.
First of all, they need to fix a couple things. It's a great RTS. It forces you to expand your territory into little slots of territory, like we were talking about with Empire Earth, and you have to capture resource points. However, the coolest part about it, or one of the cool parts about it, is if you capture a resource point in the middle of the map, and you have another resource point at the bottom of the map, you better have the resource point in between the two, or you lose supplies coming from that resource point.
Oh, so you need to kind of like daisy chain it together?
You have to daisy chain it together,
that's
otherwise
weird.
It means
okay.
nothing. In addition, it's the entire game is a resource war. If you are controlling more of the resource points, you will win eventually.
But it's not like the traditional resource war. It's like these resources are specific.
Well, there's three resources. There's munitions.
Right.
There's manpower.
There's manpower,
and there's three things by different types of weapons.
And fuel really, is
you
about
need a
the
good
hardest
balance
one
of
to get.
All of them to win. You can't just, you know, hog all the manpower and think you're going to over-manpower the other guy. It doesn't work like that.
No, I got you.
The Nazis so far seem a little bit too tough. It seems a little bit imbalanced.
Okay.
It seems like they got a lot more stuff.
They have more stuff. Like, there's certain units that they have that are so powerful
beer.
That are just, like, they have Panzerstrecks. Panzerstrecks are a human unit that kill tanks. We can upgrade certain of our units to recoilless rifles, which then have the ability to do that, but we have to upgrade each unit at a time, and we can't do it to all units.
Right.
They have better long-range guns than we do, and they have a better artillery attack, remote artillery attack than we do, than the Allies do. So that makes it pretty hard. And there's no game speed option. The game is so fast. We played 2-on-2, human against human games, and none of them lasted longer than 2 hours. And it's because it forces you, when you're going to take those resource points, to then defend them, and so you're instantly thrown into action. You can't just sit back for an hour and build up a base, and build up a base, and build up a defense, and build up a base, and build up a defense, and then go, okay, I'm going to launch my attack. You have to launch attack after attack after attack, and you're constantly defending. There's some micromanagement involved with the vehicles that suck, I think, but other people like it, where tanks can get hit from the back and the sides, but not from the front,
That's...
so people start, you know, moving their tanks really delicately around a battle, and
oh.
it helps them, but
it's
not part of the game. Yeah, it's that's stupid. So maybe they'll be fixing that, too. Currently, there's no patch yet, so I'm hoping that the patch that they release will fix some of these issues.
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep that as part of the strategy.
No, I think they're going to release the patch. There's a lot of people complaining. So they may release something. But the game is great. It's one of the best RTSs I've ever seen, by far.
Yeah.
The graphics are unbelievable. The sound effects are incredible. And it really creates a state of urgency feeling that I know Tony was really looking for in one of these games.
Yes, I'll also agree with what Ethan says. This is a really amazing RTS, but it's definitely not the best. To me, nothing still beats Empire Earth 1. The graphics on this game are just incredible, though. The explosions are like the physics on here is done. Ridiculous.
I heard that it was using
some of the
fully
most
3D
beautiful
physics.
Explosions.
Yeah.
You know, the action where you throw grenades or the charge packs into a building, you know, that's occupied by Nazi people. That's a good one, Austin.
You want another one?
Let it blow.
Go ahead, sorry.
All of that, you know, while you're getting fired upon is awesome. It has moments where your men, if you're in a vulnerable position, where they get pinned down, where they can't do anything, they can't even fire back.
Sounds sexy.
So you gotta, like, retreat, okay? Which is, part of the strategy.
Oh, that is a really cool part of the game.
If you're defending a resource, and you're pinned down, you're forced to leave that resource or lose your men.
Tell them what the retreat does.
The retreat actually pulls them back to the nearest base.
It's a one-click button that you can just click.
And they automatically run back.
Like,
no matter how much
they're
being fired on or anything. So, like, a lot of times they'll get pinned down, like in real war, where they can't move, so you'll issue orders to move, and they won't because they're totally pinned down. Retreat overrides it and just tells them to get up and run, which is really fucking great.
Right.
The other thing about the physics, I'll just expand on what Tony was saying, is that the... Everything is destructible, and everything is built into the physics engine. What that means is when you create a crater with an artillery shell, troops then use it as cover.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tanks then have a hard time getting across them. I mean, it's really that awesome.
That is good.
Yeah, it really is pretty cool. Oh, another big gripe about this
weapons.
Game.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Also, part of the strategy... of, like, if you're up against, like, a big gun, like a howitzer or something like that, your men, you could actually have them flank where howitzer would have a hard time turning around to. So you flank that position and not only flank them, but kill the men on it and take the weapon.
Right.
So
you
you'll actually use their weapons against them. And it's just a couple of other things that are really, really cool and one thing that really, really is not. Okay, a couple of things that are really, really cool is the voice acting on this game. The men are they get excited, they get happy when they're blowing the shit out of people. They also get pissed. They're also pissed when you have them build sandbags. Like one guy says, "If I see another fucking bag of dirt," I find that funny. And one thing I really, really do not like about this game, and that is. The choosing your troops option. It's not like you could set somebody to a specific button. They actually have like a sidebar that you got to scroll through your troops.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Like, on, you see the shield on the side, Ethan?
Yeah, but no, I don't mean about selections. You can still set, set people to groups, numbers.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
All right, let's see that.
Also, the big gripe I have about the game is the zoom doesn't zoom out far enough. At the highest level zoom, it's still too close.
Supreme Commander.
I don't understand.
How do you select a troop to a hot button, Ethan?
Control 1. Control 2.
I tried that.
Well, your shit's broken.
In any case, sometimes when you press that side button, it selects like all your troops, and then you wind up moving all your troops out of like a defensive position in other places and converge on this one thing, which leaves all the other places left open. So that's pretty much my take on it. Other than that, great game.
Will I see another fucking sandbag? That's pretty funny. It sounds like you, Tony, you've been playing the exact same thing. Have you been playing anything else? Or?
Oh, yeah. I actually bought Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts.
Ooh, how is that?
Okay, couple of things. Number one...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number one is Ghouls and Ghosts, so it's insanely hard. Mm-hmm. Ridiculously hard. Like, they have three options of play, normal, some other bullshit, and ultimate. Okay? But trust me, you don't want to know about any of the other levels because even
normal is bad enough.
Oh my God, is it ridiculous? Okay, and the normal is there easy. So, so it's like ridiculously hard. As usual, he is stymied by his enemies in that he can only fire up or down or left or right.
No diagonal, right?
No diagonal, which sucks because they also instituted new weapons such as a whip. And I would have loved to do, like, Simon Belmont.
Right.
Diagonal strikes and stuff, which would have helped out in the game immensely.
Right.
His jumping ability, yeah, you can't control his jumps in the air and stuff like that, but that wasn't really a concern. My only concern is that there's some pieces of armor that you could put on, like they put new armor, and one of them makes you extremely fast, so that one jump, won't get you high enough, but if you do a second jump, you'll find yourself veering off over like the obstacle entirely and falling into a pit and die. So you got to do like a single jump up and then plan your double jump, to the side and hopefully land on the platform. Okay. His enemies totally baffle him. He's totally outclassed because they come from everywhere. That they possibly can. Every single direction, they pop out in front of you. They do, and you're just left there to either get hit. Or try something crafty, such as jumping over them and firing down, okay?
Right.
At an instant's notice. The thing about this game, true to the Ghouls and Ghosts thing, is that once you pass the game, you don't really pass the game.
You have to go back and grab.
Yeah, they're like, you're not worthy and stuff. But the difference here is that instead of saying you need a better weapon, you got to collect shit throughout the game. In order to get these rings. And you need 22 of these rings in order to get to the last guy. And I've only found 14. And I've passed the game 3 times. This is like something you cannot do in like a day. Okay? So far, I've been playing this game 3 days. I passed it 3 times. And each time it gets harder and harder. And I still haven't found everything on each board. Okay? So it's really ridiculous. On another note, the graphics are beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I've seen, awesome. Yeah.
Fluent animation. The animation is fantastic. It's just really, really fucking hard. And I still haven't got past it. I'm going to be writing a full review to back this up after I play it some more.
Now, for someone who, I hate to be condescending, but for a new jack today who walks into a video game store and picks this up, how do you think they're going to react to it?
Well, that,
Versus someone who's played the original... and knows what to expect.
Well, there's a lot of people who played the original and think, yeah, they won't play this. And that's the problem.
Even the ones who played the original, wow.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is?
Yeah. This one, because the original was, like, dumb. I mean, like, really dumb. And that'll turn off a lot of players. This one is no comparison, in that it's much more beautiful, but at the same time, it's definitely just as hard. So they might be turned off by that. Right. If you want gameplay value, and you want something that you know you're not going to pass in, like, 6 hours, get the game.
Right.
It'll be fun, you know? And you'll probably strain your voice by yelling so much. Because it is fucking frustrating.
Right. So, one last thing. I wrote this column on the site that was basically talking about how sometimes, like, to me, what are design flaws are considered, oh, this just adds to the challenge by some people. I think that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this one of those games where like, it really is legitimately just very challenging? Or, like, you think they messed up somewhere? Because there are games like Ninja Gaiden.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. You know, I love Ninja Gaiden on the NES, but they made a lot of mistakes in the design. They made bad design choices that made it hard, such as, like, when you get hit and you get knocked back, your grace...
Right,
like, yeah, you're... Not only that, but... Well, not just that, because that, you know, to me, that's part of the challenge, but the time in which you are invincible from damage after you get hit, you know, for that little split second, is way too short. So if you get knocked back from an enemy into another enemy...
Right,
you get
right.
knocked back
oh,
and
yeah.
forth and back and forth. Things like that.
Like when you fight into two statue guys, right?
Right. Yeah, so that's
like
a flaw. But yeah, so that to me is a design flaw. Whereas in Castlevania 4 for the Super Nintendo, control was great. There was no cheatness in it, you know, all that stuff. Like they give you ample control over your whip, and it was just a matter of the way they place the enemies and the way they design the level is just challenging straight up. So, to you, is Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts, or is it Ghosts and Goblins?
I would say it is Ghouls and Ghosts for the Genesis. That's what I would say.
Okay. What I was saying.
Well, I know what you're saying, and
because I don't know what the title is.
Let me just back that up by saying what I previously stated, they gave you new weapons, but you really can't do anything new with them as far as attack. Okay, so you're still doing basically the same moves that you did in Ghouls and Ghosts for the Genesis. Okay, so nothing's changed with him attacking-wise. Is that a design flaw? Maybe it's just keeping with the, you know, how it was before. So, did they make it challenging by doing that? Absolutely. Is it like a cheap challenge for because of it? Absolutely.
So it is.
You know,
cheap.
They could have done. Yeah, they could have done a lot better. You could have you couldn't have been outclassed by your enemies as much as you are now. You know, especially since there are some things you could do now, like you have a shield, okay, that takes damage and disappears if it takes too much damage and stuff like that, which is cool, but you could only use the shield while ducking.
Oh.
Okay, so it's like if a bullet's coming from beneath you, you can't use the shield. If it's coming from top, you can't use the shield.
That's
you know
dumb.
What I'm saying? I mean, like, that's kind of stupid to me, okay? So is that a design flaw to me? Sure. Absolutely. Does it make the game even cheaper? Absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, it's Ghouls and Ghosts. What do you want?
I guess welcome back to 1988, where Simon Belmont in Castlevania for the NES could not control his jumps either. That was a flaw. But the rest of it, like, other than his jumping, like, to me, the rest of Castlevania was perfect. Like, not perfect, but, like, you know, it wasn't cheap to me except for the jumping thing. But anyway.
Actually, what was cheap in the original Castlevania was that he could only attack, you know, left and right.
Okay? I didn't think that was too cheap. I mean, I think that the extent to which they came from the top wasn't enough to make it like, oh, God, they're cheap. You know, they were there, and, like, you were able to get, if you were good, you were able to get out of it, you know, with a reasonable amount of leeway. So that's okay to me. It's like Gradius. You're only able to shoot forward, yet they make you go up and down, like in the PS2 version. But still, the way they design it, there's always a way out that's reasonable. Right. So, but I guess I'll go through mine quick. I've been picking up Guitar Hero again in preparation for Guitar Hero 2.
Get your chops.
Yeah, but the thing is, I haven't played the unlockable songs yet. So, like, I started going through them on Expert, and that's some hard shit. it's
what unlockable
difficult.
Songs?
All of them are, like, indie songs that, like,
I'm assuming it's from
no-name groups or groups that, like, no one's really heard of until this game came out, but, like, I
now,
think
is
there
it
was
the original group's voices? Because I would have
I believe so.
Like,
I believe so.
Like, they want to give them exposure.
Right,
you know?
Right. The licensed songs are all covers, but the indie groups, I believe, are legitimate, like, their own. Yeah. So, and they're pretty good. I mean, not only are they good in quality, but they're also just as hard as some of the expert tracks.
Uh-huh.
It gets ridiculous sometimes. I mean, nothing is as, No, that's a lie. I was going to say nothing is hard as Bark at the Moon. No, that's a lie. Bark at the Moon is hard, but, like, some of the expert tracks on this, like, the only reason that I can that I was able to pass them on, like, the second try is because I got used to how hard Bark at the Moon was. And those other tracks are even harder, but, like, I somehow managed somehow.
Well, it's also memory, too, right?
See, that's, my problem is I have a shit memory. So, like, I'm playing it all by, like, ear, kind of. As much as you can play a fake music game by ear, I'm playing it by ear.
Right, okay.
So, like, I don't memorize any of it, and I would try, as much as I try, I can't. So, like, if I let the game sit for about 6 months, every time, if I pick up a song that I five-starred 6 months ago, it'll be like sight reading again, and I'll probably fail at the 50%. But, okay. Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait for 2 to come out. In fact, I'll probably go out and get the magazine today to get the demo as well.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Mm-hmm. But, since we're winging it, what news, a couple of us have some news bits to talk about. Who wants to go first?
Ethan!
No, I don't have anything.
You don't have anything?
Nope.
Tony! Alright,
we can flip a coin.
Yeah. Austin!
You want to flip a coin?
No, that's alright. You could go.
Are you sure? No, I don't care. I'm just saying.
Do the Burger King thing.
Yes, the Burger King thing!
Burger King! It's gotta be the Burger King!
Okay, as a lot of you may know, and by the lot of you, I mean the people who are listening, which means like 7 of you, if you listen to 10-10 Wins even, like, it's spread this far.
Right.
Even on the news channels, you know, they're talking about this. Burger King, and I'm reading the headline from GameSpot, Burger King orders up Xbox games, confirming that there are $4 Xbox 360 games that will be sold at Burger King's. Last month, McDonald's introduced a line of Happy Meal toys featuring Nintendo mascots like Mario and Donkey Kong as part of the company's image reworking emphasis on fitness. Each of the toys had a physical activity focus.
You know, when I look at Mario and Donkey Kong, I can
Today, McDonald's... It's-a-me, Fedio! Today, McDonald's rival Burger King... Today, McDonald's rival Burger King officially announced a campaign that takes a different tact to a gaming time. Instead of offering toys that evoke games and promote activity, the fast food chain is going to offer 3 Xbox and Xbox 360 games of its own this holiday season. Each of them slathered with Burger King branding like so much mayonnaise on a double Whopper with cheese. Okay, thanks, Brendan. The games are... Let's see. The games are going to be for $3.99.
Oh, my
and
God. Did you see some of this?
$99 for this shit? Fuck that.
Did you see some of this shit?
$3.99.
Pocket Bike. They got one game, Pocket Bike Racer, will feature a number of Burger King mascots, including the King, the Subservient Chicken.
Dude, I gotta read the description of Sneak King.
Oh, did you guys okay. See this?
Sneak King is part of a Burger King promo for Q4 2006, in which the King must use cunning stealth to sneak up behind unsuspecting people and bestow them with a delicious meal before they pass out from hunger. And the screenshot is a woman walking by who looks a little bit scantily clad, and the King is hiding
in
a
garbage
can.
She doesn't look like she's about to pass out from hunger either. I can see those love handles there.
This shit is writing itself, guys.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Good job, Burger King. Yeah. Boy, they didn't want to seem like a bastard company, but this is probably a bad move.
The 3 games will be playable on either the Xbox or the Xbox 360. They will be available from November 19th to December 24th. Participate in Burger King locations for $3.99 with a value meal. All games are rated
E. Burgers. Yeah. Eat up burgers. Stack it up.
Smoke.
Wait.
They will. Yeah, are you smoking? Are you eating yet? They will be available from November 19th. I think this is there to counteract the PlayStation 3 and Revolution launches.
Oh, my God.
They're totally going to sink them with this shit. Hey, for $4, you can't lose, right?
I'm not buying Splinter Cell Double Agent anymore. I'm holding my money for
Sneak King.
I like how the guy writes this.
Dude, if I have sneaking, then like, what do I need a real stealth game for? That is sweet.
I like how this guy writes it. Look, instead of tiptoeing behind enemy guards that silently snap their necks, players will sneak up on hungry people and surprise them with offerings of Burger King food.
I think that would kill them just the same. Do you want some mealworm burger?
Holy shit.
You're poisoning them to death. Oh,
the more mealworms we use, the juicier our burger.
You know what's funny? Because of the burger bill.
Meat on top of meat on top of meat. Sorry, go ahead.
You know about the burger bill?
Uh-uh.
It was created after these girls unsuccessfully sued McDonald's. Because they said McDonald's contributed to their obesity. Okay? Now, this is pandering. I think it's kids, okay? Because these are like splashy, cutesy graphics, no real gameplay, right. Okay? This is mind-numbingly stupid.
Well, it's not. There's gameplay. Look at this picture of Big Bumpin', a disgruntled fry slinger, attempts to regicide at the carnival. So, you know, he's car bump.
Yeah, but that's
with regicide. Crown and. This is bullshit.
Regicide on a bumper car? Come on, give me a break. So because of the burger bill, if someone says that they actually bought more products because they were pandering to little kids with these games, you know, and these games instilled, buy Burger King, here's a cheeseburger. Sneak up on this woman and give her a nice juicy burger and stuff like that.
Full of mealworms.
Yeah. And they get in tune and eat this stuff. They can't sue anybody. They cannot sue anybody.
First of
anymore.
All, if you were really going to do any kind of stealth mission, is it really practical to dress up like a fucking king? Like, wouldn't the king put on some like,
mask,
black
yeah.
tights or something? Jesus. He's still wearing the goddamn clown. If you walk around outside with that outfit, you are not being stealthy.
Well, look, he blends into the fucking garbage can because he's a piece of shit.
He's in a garbage can.
Right, and he looks like garbage.
Guys, I got one for you, okay? You know the ESRB, what is that? The Truthfulness in Video Games Act?
Yes!
That you want to pass? Okay, now what if there's an Easter egg in this game that allows the king to jump out this garbage can with a big floppy dick and pick up his girls?
The hot coffee mod.
Wake up!
Burger King, yeah.
Wake up with the king! Jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle! Wake up with me!
Oh, man.
I'm awake!
I'm telling you,
see?
This stuff is writing itself. It's about the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Why does the Burger King guy have a pinky ring?
Wake up with the king's morning wood.
So you could kiss it when you kneel
meat
down and suck
top
his dick.
Meat on top of sausage. Wow.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. This actually was one of the more funnier news topics you ever gave us.
More funnierest.
That's right.
Good job.
Yeah. So, do you have
English
something to rant about?
English was my second language.
You have something to rant about with people killing things and shooting people?
Well,
and the
actually,
thing killing?
I was going to start off... Shut up. I was actually going to start off saying that as well as Peter Jackson... going with the Xbox, it now seems that Roman Polanski is also going to join.
Is it going to involve 16-year-old girls?
Probably. Yeah. He's probably going to be extradited from that country. You know, so, which
banned from Liechtenstein.
Yes. So he's producing a film version of Halo. And in development with games, sort of like Peter Jackson, because they're not really games. We don't know what to call them yet. You know, they could be games, but one of them is it's going to come after the Halo 3 and Halo Wars strategy game. So they'll let us know what that's going to be.
Okay. Really interesting.
Then,
Roman Polanski.
Okay. Yeah, Roman Polanski, of all people, you know?
Well, so, I mean, like, that's a good person to have on your roster to direct Halo. I'm just curious as to why he'd agree to it.
Yeah, we need the director of Pirates. Thanks. The shit movie that was. Eh. A couple of other things that'll add fuel to the fucking government paranoia is that
yes!
a few articles of kids and adults just hurting each other over video games.
Yeah, what was that one about someone stabbing some other dude in the back?
Yeah, that was
because was that because of
game.
Madden?
Nope, they didn't say Madden. They just said a football game.
Okay.
So,
it could have been a real football game.
No. A football video game. Not, let me,
damn it.
Let me
damn
qualify
it.
That.
I thought
yeah.
there would be an out there.
No. There's no out. No.
Ah, balls.
But, you know, if you're playing any football game, chances are it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Madden.
Well, now
so
it's Madden.
Here's
yeah.
the article. This happened in Athens, Alabama. A football fan is facing attempted murder charges, allegedly stabbing a limestone during an argument over a video game.
Jeez.
And they won't disclose the name because that'll probably end up having them sued for libel or some shit like that.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, who knows? Okay, because, you know, if it is EOA, EOA probably has their lawyers at the door while they're writing this article. You know, so there's no freedom in telling what games are what anymore. And as far as the people, these kids stabbing, this 17-year-old kid stabbing another kid, okay, over a video game, they didn't disclose that video game either, which adds more stupidity to the fight. See, when you give it a nomenclature as a video game, and not the real game or what type of game it was. I mean, that's the only reason they give a real video game name, is when it's a bad one that everybody agrees that it's bad. For instance, they'll say it's Grand Theft Auto, okay? They'll tell you some kid killed somebody else because of Grand Theft Auto. But when it comes to some kid killing somebody over World of Warcraft, which has millions of players and probably has lots of backing, okay, and seems like a non-violent game, we'll just say they killed each other over a video game.
Yeah.
That's unfair to me. That's really unfair, and that only feeds to the stupidity, you know, that of the ignorance to most of these people and who read these articles and say, oh, my kid can't play video games anymore. No, that's not the fucking point. And you shouldn't have government trying to legislate anything to tell you that you shouldn't let your kids play certain video games either. If you wanna fucking get rid of the paranoia, why don't you just play a video game with your kid or do anything like that? And I'm just tired of seeing articles like that. You know, so that's it. That's my point. That's my rant.
You know, it's funny. I saw a picture on I think it was Kotaku or Joystick, where like it was in Japan, and it was this little kid playing with his GBA, and his father was right next to him, and they were taking turns playing it. And
okay.
like the caption was kind of like, "Where is this in America?"
Oh shit!
You know. Well, no, I mean, like, the staff writer was, you know, American. I mean, and he brings up a good point. We're like, where is this?
Right.
Like, we don't, you know, the parents are just uninterested, you know. It's like the whole, like, Pokemon shit or TV shit. It's like, they just sit there. It's like, you know, I'm busy. You let him watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just, the whole TV as a babysitter type thing. And it's just, you know, that's, that I think is a problem. But, anyway, Ethan, you have nothing.
Yeah, you guys are both wrong.
You have nothing.
The government should legislate that, and parents shouldn't have to bother paying attention.
There goes devil's advocate bullshit.
They should do a better job at figuring out what's actually dangerous and what isn't dangerous.
There's nothing dangerous about a video game.
No, let me finish, you shithead. TV and video games need to be babysitters because people are inherently busier now than they were, and they don't have time to watch everything that their kids are doing. So the government just needs to do a better job at making sure that there's nothing really, really offensive in what they're playing. That's it.
Bunch of crap.
No, what's funny is about this is that is the amount of effort that you put into this voice was nothing. You're like, you guys are wrong, government.
Well, I gotta say, that's a product of listening to you two whine on about this bullshit for an hour and a half.
Is Ethy mad?
Oh,
no, I'm bored.
You're bored? Really? So why don't you come up with something?
There is nothing to come up with. I would.
There is.
Like what?
Chest rubbing while you're playing video
games? All
right,
I'll talk about chest rubbing if you really want me to, but it's going to get nasty and we're going to get hate mail.
Well, we'll just direct it at you.
That's fine. I'd like to, you know...
All right, find something. You're being a bull sniffer right now.
Well, I got something that'll probably... Ethan will probably fall asleep because he has no attention span.
But see, I paid attention.
Apparently, NBA Live had to have...
Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Well, apparently EA... Well, I don't know how much they're going to do about this, but finally, a bunch of NBA Live fans have come out of their fucking coma and realized that EA is a piece of shit when it comes to basketball games. And they actually came out and wrote a letter, and you know that this letter is not going to amount to anything. But basically, this is a bunch of modders who update playlists. This is for the PC version, really.
Okay.
But a bunch of modders and people who update playlists, you know, they had this huge organization this online community. I think it's like NBALive.org or something like that. And, you know, they would come out with roster updates and mods and all that crap. And they were just really disappointed with this latest version of NBA Live, and they kind of extrapolated this to all their games. So here's a quote from Kotaku about that letter, that letter. At one time, EA was producing the best titles money could buy. I don't remember at such a time. But, and one had little reason to look elsewhere. Now gamers have a sense that if you want the best, it's not EA. Whether it's looking at the NBA 2K series for our basketball game fix, users leaving Battlefield 2 because they feel the problems will never be addressed, or former FIFA players moving on to Pro Evolution Winning 11 soccer, it's a sense that we're all sharing. We look at NBA Live over the last few years, and we see the same basic game being re-released with fancy new features. The same elemental problems from the last few years are still there. Some have been tweaked, but the overall issues still exist. While there are plenty of new features, it gives the impression that EA is saying in response to the lingering issues, yeah, well, hey, look at this! Be it All-Star Weekend, a long-time wish that EA has, in fact, fulfilled, Superstar Moves or Dynasty Editions. While these editions are nice to have, it is piling on a base that cannot support it instead of addressing the underlying fractures. EA is just constructing a new structure on the old crumbling foundation. Now, whether or not this will actually have an effect, you know, whatever. But what I saw here is the whole Battlefield 2 thing. And, Ethan, I know you're a huge Battlefield, you know, fan, so...
Yep.
Do they have
I agree completely. I left Battlefield because of that. They're not fixing any. First of all,
what are the problems? I ask because I have never played it, so I really want to know.
First, they're not fixing technical problems, so the game will not run properly.
Oh shit!
So there's a whole list of bugs that they're just not fixing. That's probably the largest issue.
Okay.
Secondly, they're not fixing balancing issues that people are complaining about since the game started. Like, if you get really good at flying a helicopter and there's two different helicopters. There's one for transport, and there's one that has a gun that you can also shoot while you're flying.
Mm-hmm.
If you get really good at that one that you shoot also when you're flying, really good at it, there is nothing that can stop you.
Oh.
Nothing. You demolish everyone. There are certain boards where there's an aircraft carrier, and there are boats that come from the aircraft carrier and planes that come off the aircraft carrier, and then there is an island. And the two sides, one side defends the island, and the other side tries to attack the island from the aircraft carrier. The people that are defending the island, if they get in troop transport carrier car things, I can't remember the name of it, they've got little guns on them, and they're amphibious carriers. So they drive out to the entries of the boat, and they sit there and shoot you as you spawn.
Oh, spawn campers.
And it becomes a game, and people have devoted hours and hours of their life to playing the weaker side, the aircraft carrier side of those games, just to try to figure out a way to beat people that do that.
Right.
And you can't do it. I mean, maybe one out of 50 games, and that's not exaggerating. You'll win by accident because somebody will, like, put their finger in their ass and allow you to take the car.
That's crazy.
Those are examples of problems. The largest problem to me is the technical one.
Mm-hmm.
The game will just crash. You need a ridiculous amount of RAM to run this game. You need, I don't care what they say on their specifications, you need 2 gigs of RAM to run the game.
Shit.
Without
getting
kicked
two?
Off.
Did it crash with you at 2?
No, it doesn't crash with me at 2. It crashes now with me when I updated my video driver. Anytime they release a new video driver, Battlefield doesn't seem to keep up, or the driver maker changes the driver so that the game somehow does not function anymore. I refuse to believe that this is every graphics card manufacturer's problem and not the single game that's problem. Okay. They're just coding it badly so that when a graphics card manufacturer changes, and I guess they're even testing with Battlefield, it's still not working, which makes no sense. That should be an NVIDIA and ATI problem, but it's not. I can't believe it is if Battlefield 2 is the only game that's garnering all these complaints.
It's very good, Ethan. Actually, he's very interesting for the first time.
You know what? Go fuck yourself. If you're going to talk about something interesting, I'm going to talk about it. If you want to talk about little boys getting fucked in the ass, I'm going to talk about that.
Where? Can I give you a Whamburger?
Yeah, whatever.
French fries. What I was going to say is... No, Ethan, seriously. Good. That was very good. Very informative. I've never played Battlefield, but that really will detract me from ever doing so. I was going to say, in response to Austin, the article that he read... it's about fucking time that these people realized what the fuck happened to them. They were in a fucking coma. I mean, like, you realize now that every single fucking successive game every fucking year was just the same port Okay, same port from what it was the last time, except with, like, different moves, different players' faces, different animations, but the same fucking game. Same fucking play mechanics, same this, same that. What the fuck? I mean, this was the problem
with
Madden.
There's a joke somewhere in flame mechanics, but I don't know what it is.
Flame!
Oh, man. I mean, this is the problem that EA has displayed ever since Madden was in the 90s. Okay? Every single successive Madden game was the same fucking game, especially on Genesis. You know? Yeah, so, I where were the people? Where the fuck were they? What, they have a brain cramp for the last 20 years?
You know what, though? I don't know if it matters that much anymore, because, you know, the other companies, they're big, it's not like, they're kind of like Microsoft in that they have that attitude.
Right.
Where they just release whatever they want, they don't seem to care, and it's too fucking bad, kind of.
Right, but
the problem
right.
is there is more competition than in, like, a Microsoft operating system environment.
Yeah, right. It's better
there
now.
Are other yeah, it is. There are a lot, you know, other games, Ubisoft is fucking fantastic. Yeah. There are other really good game companies out there.
2K Sports is doing a great job with the basketball game. The only problem now is that since EA bought the football game, like, mm-hmm. bought the NFL's license, there's no way for anybody to have a pro football game that's
no
not
license, right? Oh, shit.
You know,
there you go.
But I mean,
it's
with
like a monopoly.
With the other sports, you know, I mean, the other thing is that, now, I don't know, I've never played the soccer game, so I don't know, but games like Pro Evolution and Winning 11, like, they don't have professional licenses, and yet people love those games. So it remains to be seen how, you know, how successful a non-licensed NFL
well, let's just
game
put it this
can
way.
Be.
It's also
now, let's,
like...
Let's just put, wait, I just want to have one point. Let's just put it this way. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was one licensed baseball game, okay? And that was RBI Baseball for Tengen, okay? Tengen came out with that. And the best-selling game, I believe, at that, and I may be mistaken, but I don't think so, okay, was Jaleco's Bases Loaded. Had no real real baseball players, but the graphics were better. The play mechanics were better than RBI Baseball. And it actually had characters that looked real. So that actually sold better than RBI Baseball, and every year RBI Baseball just kind of like looked the same.
Right.
And then
I
eventually
gotcha.
That got phased out. You right. know, Bases Loaded didn't look the same every year.
Right. I think we'll just have to see what happens, because in the case of Madden, it's not like Madden's a piece of junk. Like, Madden is a formidable football game. It's just that people are worried that they don't improve it enough or whatnot. I mean,
no, they don't.
It got to where it is for a reason, not just because of the Madden license, but because it... You know, according to a lot of people, it was a good football game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not
well,
like
the
RBI.
First one that I ever played was a fantastic football game. The second one was just as so. I mean, they added more game, you know, more offensive plays and defensive plays, but it was the same game.
Right,
I mean,
right.
The graphics were the same. The players looked the same. Okay, so they had different numbers for, you know, if they were traded. Who cares? You know? Who cares? It's the same fucking game. You know? So, that's my point. Anyway, Ethan, you were going to say something?
Yeah, no, I fucking forgot. God damn it.
It's all right.
We love you, Ethan.
There's one more thing. I kind of got to wrap this up now, but just one more thing about this letter. On the bottom of the letter, they have links to all these YouTube movies of NBA Live glitches. There's one called...
Can you send that?
There's one called Jason Kidd Calls a Cab. And basically, you see Jason Kidd with the ball. He's dribbling, and he passes it off to someone else. And then he's kind of wrestling for position with his defender with his hand out. You know, his hand's waving in the air. And then after a couple of seconds, the play happens. Everybody goes down court. But Jason Kidd is still there, standing still in the same spot with his hand in the air, calling for the ball when everyone else is on the other side of the court.
Great.
There's another one... There's another one where...
I'm with this fucked. I can't see it.
It's we'll take a look at it later. But there's another one where one of the defenders jumps like 30 feet high in the air to block a shot. And he hits like the backboard. There is another one where like your player is like basically under the backboard. But somehow he manages to get his hand through the backboard, through the hoop, and dunk it into the hoop. And that's a common one that I've always seen in NBA Live, and that one always bugs me, because it's like, if you're under the frickin' backboard, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If there are 20 people, if you're going to do that, then your arm has to come around the backboard.
So when was the last time that they had that? Like, you said you've seen this on previous games?
Yeah.
And they
That particular clipping problem, yeah. Yeah, they haven't corrected this. They're funny instances where, like... this one video, two players are going up for a rebound. The rebound is like the ball is falling into one player's hands, but then somehow just kind of zips over to the other player. Like the other player has like magnetic hands. It's pretty funny to see. And it's funny because I'm like, I have seen every single one of these bugs 3 years ago, which was the last time I played an NBA Live game. Wow. And they were still there, and they're still here. And I'm like, wow. I mean, NBA 2K has its fair share of glitches as well, but like they fix them every year. Like I see something go away. I stop noticing something that I did that I saw before. You know, they really do work at getting it better, and it's just funny to see these like clipping issues. But
that's funny.
You got to take a look at these videos.
Yeah, they do have an adage that is, you know, EA's motto: if it's broke, don't fix it.
Right. But for anyone who wants to see these videos, it's www.nbalive.org/letter.htm, and you scroll down to the bottom of the letter, and you'll see looks like 8-7 YouTube videos of like bugs. It's amazing.
And just to let you know, that's a lot different from manboob.com.
Manboob, yes.
.net, yeah. .net. Sorry.
All right, I think that about wraps that gavel up. If you have any comments or why do I bother? You're not gonna fucking send mail anyway. Screw you guys. For Ethan and Tony and Al, eat a dick. Bye.
You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters.